Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I recently applied for a permit to remove two pine trees that I consider to be a threat to my property and that of my neighbors. My request was denied because the trees, I guess, exceeded the diameter limits of the ordinance that's in effect. But now, as I understand it, and Chief Hoffer, you can correct me, if you stand your ground law, I can use deadly force to protect myself and my property, but I can't cut down a dang tree. Now, that doesn't make sense to me at all. Okay.
So, David, okay. What was your reaction over there, David?
I was just saying, yeah, cut down that tree.
I can defend my property against an intruder who wants to harm my house, but I can't defend my property against a dang tree that's too large in the city of Gulf Breeze. Yeah, this is, I mean, there's a lot to be said here. This is a very interesting discussion. Leo Bohr is the citizen, and he wants to cut down two pine trees that are now bigger than 12 inches diameter, which is the limit. Below that, you can cut it down to your heart's content. Above that, you got to get approval from the city manager. We'll get to that in just a second. But and he was a very, very civil guy. That one clip makes him sound like angry old man, but he was frustrated, but he showed up and said, I appreciate you guys doing your work, and I'm not here to cause trouble or whatever. And even Sam Abel said he's a delightful dude. So, but here's more of what he was saying about the problem he's running into at his property in Gulf Breeze.
I asked for a reevaluation, and Miss Abel came over personally, took time out of her day to come over and check it out, and she did. And she authorized me to take down one tree which was closer to my house, but not the other one. So I'm asking for another look.
Yeah, look at the second tree. Let's bring that one down as well. And by the way, I don't know why I can't cut down these trees. They're clear-cutting lots on my street down the road. How can they take out all the trees and I can't take down two dang trees?
Now, there are three lots on my street that were clear-cut. Every living tree, every branch, every bush was removed so they could build new houses. Now, how can they do that and I can't? That I don't understand, okay? I guess the tree huggers have the right-of-way there, okay.
I love it. And, I mean, this is a very common-sense person, and he says, I don't get it. You tell me I can't take down trees on my property, but they can take down all the trees on their properties down the way to make room for a house? What gives, bro? That doesn't make no sense.
One last comment.
Yes, sir.
If the city is paying my taxes and my insurance, then I think you have the right to control my property. Otherwise, I think I do. Okay?
As John just gestured, a little bit, right?
And over the years, now I have planted six new trees in my yard. So I'm not against trees, okay?
By the way, just a note on that. You know how there's these programs for if you take out trees, you have to mitigate them somehow, either give to a tree planting trust fund like in Pensacola or plant trees or whatever. I think that if you plant trees, you ought to be able to secure advance credits. Like if you plant six trees, then let's say 10 years from now, if those trees are still thriving, maybe that entitles you to, you've already pre-mitigated against one that has to be removed. Like you should be able to store up credit, you know, because look, I did these, we're ahead. You know, I can take out the one, and the way you earn sort of social credit towards that would be, you know, just a thought to consider.
I had some that fell on me, my neighbor's trees, crushed my house, crushed my my storage shed, crushed my fence, and I paid to have all that replaced.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think probably insurance from them should have covered it, because if it falls on their property onto yours, then that's their fault, not yours. I'm 95% sure that's the way that works. That's why you got to always be careful of the things on your property that might be a threat to your neighbors. But what he's saying is, look, I'm worried about these trees being a threat to my neighbors, and I don't want to, you know, I'm trying to be a good citizen here.
Please keep in mind, I'm not asking you for any special treatment, but I do expect fair treatment.
Now, all of this to me so far, I mean, and Sam Abel's going to explain the rules and why things are being decided the way they are, but there's a slice of this that when I heard it, it was sort of like, oh, man. You ready? This is the part that'll kill you. They're pine trees, right? John, do pine trees grow quickly or slowly?
Oh, they grow quickly.
Yes, they do. And what kind of trees are dangerous in storms?
Pine trees, because they snap.
They're tall. They snap. They fall over. They get killed easily. They're very vulnerable. They're not particularly durable, and they're dangerous, and they grow quickly, right? What kind of trees do you want to cut down?
Pine trees.
Two pine trees. Do you know who planted them?
And you said these are both pine trees, right?
Sure.
You said these are both pine trees?
Two pine trees that are alongside my driveway. My late wife planted those trees years ago, as a matter of fact. And I don't know why she selected pine trees, but...
They grow fast, apparently.
They grow fast, yeah. And this one really is a threat to me, I think, and my neighbors, and maybe the power lines. Miss Abel, she saw it. She can probably comment.
We've lived on this property so long, we actually planted these trees that you're now telling me I can't cut down. More on this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? Let's see. Got a couple of accidents we're working right now on North W Street and DeSoto Street, and also another accident on Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need to work on any kind of a home improvement project, anything that takes, you know, equipment, supplies, advice, a lot of times, you know, you might think that you want to know what to do or how to do it. And, you know, my old boss always had a suggestion for me. He said, Andrew, I only want you to come ask me for advice in two situations, when you're not sure what to do and when you are sure what to do. Which means always. Same thing with the hardware project. Go ask Pensacola Hardware, hey, I'm thinking about solving it this way. Is that the right way? And they'll tell you, no, that's a good plan. Or they'll be like, you know, actually, maybe this would do better for you, because they are the experts. You know, a lot of times you go to the hardware store and you're like, you don't even ask for help anymore because you're like, I probably know more than they do. You know, YouTube knows more than you do. Pensacola Hardware, they know. Like, this is their business. Their job is to understand how to do it. What's the best thing for it? They'll have it in stock. And, you know, it's an institutional knowledge kind of situation that they have been in business since 1851, 175. It's their 175th anniversary this year. They know. If it was built in Pensacola, they were probably involved. And they certainly know how to answer your questions and solve these problems for you. Plus, they have a great houseware section in the front for gifts. So just stop by, ask your questions. The oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country, Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. All right, back to Leo Bohr, Gulf Breeze citizen, lived in a house so long that his late wife had planted two pine trees in back that have now grown so big that they cannot be cut down because they're larger than the, like, heritage tree kind of limits of 12 inches. You have to get special permission from the city administrator to do it. And Sam Abel, who, dear friend, very capable, she says, one is a danger. You can cut that one down, but he wants the other one to be cut down. By the way, the issue of, like, I planted it, so how can you tell me I can't cut it down? I sort of get that in this sense. There are things that you can create or have chosen not to create that you can't then just get rid of. I mean, you can make a baby and you can't then just get rid of the child. but it does seem weird. Like, we planted these trees. How can we not take down these trees just because we've lived here a long time? That's crazy. Anyway, so Sam Abel's going to explain.
And so I want to just say, for those of you who don't know him personally, Mr. Bohr is a delight. And so I know Seth has enjoyed meeting with him, as have I.
Absolutely.
As you know, Council, every tree that is 12 inches or larger in diameter is protected in the city and can only be removed upon authorization and a site visit by the city manager. And so my predecessor for 25 years did those same site visits. I serve at the will and pleasure of this council. I think that's no mistake. If I cut down the wrong tree, it's just that simple, right? That's how much we love trees in the city.
And it's a tree city. You know, a lot of them in our area are, but very proud of being that, obviously.
The code of ordinance says that trees are protected except in certain conditions. Those conditions, number one, are if the state of Florida has preempted you. And so that preemption is that if the tree presents a danger to persons or property.
So if it's dangerous, it's going to fall over or damage somebody's property, then obviously it can be removed. That's a state rule.
In addition to that, this mayor and council amended the ordinance to say that if an improvement to the property could not happen because there's no feasible alternative otherwise, then I can approve the removal of a tree in that event. However, mitigation is required. And so that's when Mr. Seth Helms looks at that and provides the mitigation formula. And the instances, to answer Mr. Bohr's question, where his neighbors, they were building a new home or an improvement, and there was no feasible alternative except for that tree to be removed and mitigated, and those trees were mitigated.
See, I understand these rules, but I also sympathize with Leo Bohr because, you know, basically the answer is, well, if you were going to build a structure and the only way to build that structure was to have to take out those trees, then you could take out those trees. But since you're not building a structure or expanding your house or something like that, and you don't have to take out those trees to accommodate the development, tough. I mean, it's weird. I get it because you're preserving trees, but it's also kind of like saying, well, if I just come up with a creatively large enough structure to improve, then I can take out the trees. Of course, then I'm putting that structure in the risk from other trees. You know, it's kind of a cascade effect. But anyway, if you can do it if the right situations exist.
In addition to that,
I just played that one.
In this instance, both of the pine trees are straight up as an arrow and super healthy. However, one, as Mr. Bohr said, is closer to his neighbor's home. And so the canopy, arguably, you could say, could present a danger to the property. And so I asked Mr. Bohr, let's just compromise and meet each other halfway. The other is, if it were to fall, it's not a danger to persons or property. And so by my reading of the code, I simply don't have the authority to authorize its removal.
Now, somebody, I haven't learned the voices yet of the city council members, but somebody asked a question, well, can he just not replant other things?
Is there the ability to replant something that you were taking out? As opposed to
there is no authorization in the code for mitigation unless there is an improvement to the property and there's no feasible alternative that exists. So for instance, today I reviewed a tree removal application to remove 44 trees, and that is the tear down of an old house, the build out of a new house, and that includes a lot of accessory buildings and pavers. And so some of those trees were approved with mitigation schedule. Some of those trees were denied because the feasible alternative is that they could reduce the amount of pavers in the driveway. So if there's a feasible alternative, you know, then the code says you have to protect that tree. In this instance, there's not a proposed improvement. The trees have been there for a very long time. There's no change of condition that would warrant its removal. And those trees are denied on almost a daily basis.
Yeah, so this is a very normal kind of request that gets made to City Hall, and they go through the code and they follow the rules, and then they decide whether you can or cannot or you know, have another workaround that allows you to not have to take out the larger trees.
There's a very small list. Cherry laurels are one of those trees, but it's a very small list of trees that are not protected
right.
in the city. And so if you want to revisit pines, that might be something that you can workshop at a certain point in the year. We can look again at that.
And that was a question of, well, a pine is not it's not a live oak. Is a pine tree the kind of thing that we need to be protecting in this way, especially because they grow pretty quickly? And she says, well, we could look at it. You know, you can have a workshop. You can change the rule as long as the state doesn't preempt you in some way, and it wouldn't on something like that. Somebody else asked the question, what if he just did it and then got, you know, sort of forgiveness afterwards?
Last question I had, if he decided he was going to do it, either whether he wanted to do it or not, is there a fee that he has to pay, a fine?
You know, what's the penalty?
For cutting something that he wasn't supposed to cut down.
There is a fine, but that citation goes to the Santa Rosa County Court, and so it's not as simple as just coming to, you know, City Hall and
like
paying your fine. And so
okay.
We really want to encourage our good citizens not to go through the court process and remove a tree that's protected.
And I don't think he's eager to become a violator in the process. Okay, so this is why I want to talk about this. First, it's entertaining in the sense that Leo's a fascinating guy. I love him. He's the kind of guy you want as your neighbor, right? And trying to figure out the balance between wanting to protect the net aggregate effect of having a lot of trees in a city like Gulf Breeze or, you know, Escambia County, Santa Rosa County, whatever. Everybody's got tree ordinances. They're all a little bit different. And the private property owner that's like, it's my property. Why can't I cut down a tree? And we're seeing, just feels like recently we've been running into a lot of what I would call the community good versus the individual property right. Think about your beach access issue out on Perdido Key, customary use versus owning property all the way down to the waterline, right, which is different from Pensacola Beach. The community wants access to the sand. The property owner does not want them to have access to the sand, and so we have a conflict between what's viewed as by some as a community good and what others view as a private good. Think about the case with the house on Lakeview Drive here in Pensacola. You know, it's a historic structure. It's beautiful. It doesn't need to be torn down, but the people are wanting to tear it down, or the owners, whatever, want to tear it down and develop and make money, presumably, make a big profit by destroying a historic structure. It's actually got a historic placard outside of it. Well, the community has an interest in having historic structures be preserved and having a certain kind of look generally in our city. And at the same time, private property owners have an interest in, well, they're paying for it and they pay the property taxes. Same thing with trees. You know, again and again and again, we have the same conflict over trees are beautiful. Trees do great work for stormwater mitigation. They do all kinds of things for shade and pollution and beautification. And yet, trees that are not on public land, somebody owns the property and has to take care of them and is in trouble if something goes wrong. And it's a kind of a weird thing to say, you know, your tree on your land is too large for you to be able to do what you want with it. Is there a community interest in the tree on somebody's private land? And typically the answer is, well, yeah, it's kind of a balancing act, because if a tree is big enough or of a certain type, then yes. Just like if you discover an endangered turtle on your land, you know, you can't just kill it. And you probably can't do anything to develop the land either. Why? Community interest in endangered species. Like, all of these sort of conflicting values, on the one hand, individuals doing what they want with their property, whether it's a beach or whether it's a tree or whether it's a house, versus the general effect of living in a place that is run by every individual and they make all their decisions and then it looks like crap because you know which neighborhoods don't have an HOA. And that is the net effect of everybody being able to make their own individual decisions with their property. It usually winds up looking terrible. And that's the challenge. That is not an easy thing to figure out, especially when, on the one hand, some people have a very robust sense of individual property rights, and on the other hand, some people have a very robust sense of community interest. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Okay, can't follow that one up, but here we go. Couple of accidents on North W Street and DeSoto Street, and also Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue. Not seeing any delays associated with that one. Just wanted you to be aware. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And so we elect people to, on our behalf, argue and wrangle and try to solve these problems. And not everybody's going to be happy in the end.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands.
I am the best with my bare hands. 8:29 here on News Radio.
I'm going to leave that one alone, sir.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headliner two for us. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, John. El Paso's airport apparently being closed for special security reasons by the FAA today. That announcement said no pilots there can operate aircraft in the areas covered by the federal notice.
I think we just got a note. I think the airport has actually been reopened just within the minute. I think you're at the bottom of the hour, Fox News.
Talk about breaking news.
We broke the unbroken news, or we unbroke?
We unbroke the broken news, maybe.
I don't break everything here.
Break, yeah.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. The FBI following up thousands of tips to 1-800-CALL-FBI over the armed masked man in Nancy Guthrie's door the night she was kidnapped. One washed out overnight when an Arizona delivery driver was detained with a court-ordered search of a home in Rio Rico, Arizona, and released. A tipster thought his eyes looked like the suspect. The man named Carlos was forthcoming with Fox's Matt Finn.
Terrifying. Something I didn't do for something. I felt like I was being kidnapped, bro, because they didn't tell me anything at the beginning.
Investigators kept his phone to make sure he checked out. An unprecedented FAA security order that grounded all flights, including commercial, at Texas El Paso Airport for the next 10 days has been lifted now after warning the U.S. government may use deadly force. Flights are resuming. Congresswoman Veronica Escobar said it caused significant community concern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got cloudy skies at 62 degrees. Brooke Richardson has our forecast. That's up here in just a few minutes. The city of Pensacola seeing a crime decline for the second straight year. Overall crime down 28.6% from 2023 until 2025. Violent crime was down 25.4%. Property crime declined 29.3%. Mayor D.C. Reeves making that announcement. He credits the community's culture and technology for helping to drive that decrease. Thefts were down 34%. Grand theft auto down 38%. Vehicle burglaries were down 20%, and attempted homicide down nearly 80%. A UK company that is relocating its headquarters to Pensacola to become its new world headquarters. Florida West CEO Chris Platte talking to the city council Monday. He says Field International chose Pensacola for its advanced manufacturing capabilities.
Oh, it's also a relocation of the UK headquarters to the US to be the world headquarters.
And Field International's first phase brings $8 million in equipment and 50 jobs, paying over $80,000 a year. The company is currently located within city limits, but likely will expand outside the city for phase two, which requires 100 to 150,000 square feet. It'll also add another 50 jobs and at least $12 million more in investment. Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman Colton Wright questioned yesterday why commissioners needed to vote immediately on allocating sales tax money to farm conservation without knowing the amount. Wright did have to leave that meeting early, though, to go to meetings in Washington, D.C.
I just don't feel like it's good government to ask us to make a decision without knowing what we're making a decision on. If it's purely symbolic to say, yeah, we support it, I don't know what more we can do than what we already did.
And Commissioner Rhett Rowell said the board had already expressed support for years, but needs to formalize that commitment. The board voted 4-1 to postpone making a decision until late March after a strategic planning workshop can be held. Well, Santa Rosa County also cracking down on right-of-way permit ordinances. This is after fiber optic contractors apparently have damaged water lines, gas lines, sewer lines, and cables across the county. Commissioner Kerry Smith says Garcon Point Water has reported an inordinately high number of boil water notices due to contractors cutting pipes. The new rules will require contractors to show where other infrastructure is located, verify they've contacted other utilities through 811, and only allow boring work during daytime hours for safety. Well, Senator Ashley Moody celebrating getting a bill she supported across the finish line. President Trump yesterday signed the Ending Improper Payments to Deceased People Act into law. Moody was one of the bill's co-sponsors. That calls for the Treasury Department and Social Security Administration to work together to make sure payments are no longer sent to dead people. Moody wrote on X, "It's a step in the right direction for ending waste, fraud, and abuse that's been running rampant in Washington, D.C. We've got 62 and cloudy skies right now at 8:35. Let's check in with John Pickens, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident up in Molino on Highway 29 and Comede Lane, and it's causing northbound backup. Thank you for the tip on that one. I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at some patchy, dense fog as you go through the morning hours. Clears out as you head into the afternoon, high near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, we are going to be seeing temperatures drop near 56 degrees after some showers move through. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 62 degrees, cloudy skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. And your money now this hour, taking a look at what's happening on Wall Street as the bell opens. The Dow up about a half a percent, 250 points almost at 50,435. The S&P is up just over a half percent at 6,983.66. The NASDAQ up almost three quarters of a percent today, 23,262.92. That 10-year bond rate is up slightly, 4.18% today. Looking at gold prices, up 62.60, 5,093.60. Silver's up 4.25 at 84.63. And Bitcoin down 12.95 this morning at 67,484. Well, the job growth has been stronger than expected to start the year. The latest jobs report shows that the U.S. economy added 130,000 jobs in January, well above analysts' expectations of 55,000. The unemployment rate landed at 4.3%, down from 4.4% in December. The report would have been released Friday, but it was delayed due to the partial government shutdown, which, of course, ended last week. Disney's now struck a deal with British telecom giant Sky UK. The international partnership is a multi-year deal to integrate Disney Plus on Sky. It includes the launch of Disney Cinema Linear Channel. That'll feature dozens of movies in its first month. Well, Elon Musk has apparently lost two more top executives. XAI co-founders Jimmy Ba and Tony Wu left within hours of each other this week. The companies lost multiple executives months before a planned IPO involving SpaceX and XAI. It's 8:38, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the Mardi Gras fun this weekend. Friday night, rolling at 7, downtown Pensacola will light up with the crew of Lafitte Mardi Gras Illuminated Nighttime Parade. Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2, catch the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Pensacola. And Sunday, it's Mardi Gras Island Style with the crew of Rex Parade on Pensacola Beach beginning at 2. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
This is a project that can be a generational change for our city.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered the State of the City Address.
Getting the $76 million grant from Triumph, I believe either the second or third largest in the history of Triumph.
And News Radio covered it live.
2,000 high-paying jobs, 1,500 of those jobs, give or take, at $68,000. The other 500 jobs, average salary over $100,000.
News, it's what we do. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I got a topic today that all you haters are going to love. This is going to be fun. This is going to be mean. Ready? You ready, John?
Why are you doing this to me today?
No, not you. I think you'll like it, too.
Oh, okay.
Because you hate the Olympics.
Well,
you don't have any interest in the Olympics.
Not the winter ones. I mean,
and even the summer,
hockey.
You only like them because they're playing baseball and basketball. You said this yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I can understand it.
Okay, all right. So my question for you today is... What's your least favorite Olympic sport? 437-1620, 437-1620. Listen, I love the Olympics. I've said this before. I love the winter and the summer. I probably love the summer a little bit more, but I love all the Olympics. I get into it. I enjoy it. I do not enjoy every part. There are some parts that I'm like, not even fast-forwarding is good enough for this one. I'm not even watching it. So, and I am definitely the fast-forward. Like, you know, if I'm watching an event, I will watch the event and then fast forward between. I don't need the personal history. I don't need the commentary. I don't need the sit-down interview with the athlete who competed in this 20 years ago. I'm not interested. Just show me the drama, baby. Show me the people jumping and twisting and falling and crashing, and that's what I want. You know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I don't need the agony of the interview, the thrill of the commentary. I don't need
pretty
it.
Pretty good.
Thanks. So, okay, 437-1620. Yeah, and I'll allow any entry here. It doesn't have to be winter only. So it can be any Olympic sport that you just think, no, not even a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I know, because you don't probably, how many winter sports can you even name? But okay, 437-1620. What is the Olympic sport that you can't stand to watch, find boring, however you want to answer this question? I guess winter gets preference, but winter or summer is perfectly fine. So, John, you have one that stands out for you as... not as particularly uninteresting to you.
Running.
Yeah. All running? Even like the 100 meter?
No, the 100 meters and stuff is cool because it's over with.
Yeah.
But
short attention. 10 seconds, man.
Going around and around. So if we're going...
like a 5,000 meter?
Yeah, if we're going to mm-hmm. Winter Olympics, it's the skating around and around and around.
The long... The speed skating
I'm like,
that's not...
okay, lanes, we switch, we don't, we mm-hmm. do, we hit each other. I mean, come on.
What? Yeah, it's just... around, especially when it's like I think of like the bicycling in the Summer Olympics, the long distance bicycling on the oval, and you're like watching those three and these three and those three and these three and those three and these three and those three and these three. And what?
At least NASCAR has like sounds, and you know they can hit each other and hit
things
the wall.
Can happen. Yeah. That's right. You can't even tell when a lead change has happened sometimes in some of these sports. That's the
I
problem.
Know.
All right, 437-1620 question of the day. What's the Olympic sport you cannot stand? I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to take the winter version. Mm-hmm. You said the marathon is boring to you. I could not agree more. The marathon is the most boring thing. And, you know, watch it all. No, thanks.
No, no, that's okay.
For me, it's cross-country skiing in the winter.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't want to watch running to begin with. I certainly don't want to watch running in snow on skis. No, thank you. And you try to juice it up by adding guns. You, no, it, that's, no. And I love guns, and that does not do a thing for me. Plink, 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 plink. Get up and run in the snow somewhere. No, thank you. Or the, you know, what is the Nordic combined? Cross country snow running is so boring that we had to let them do jumping. No.
Whee.
No, thank you. Yeah, so I'm down on the running, not the short distance run, the long distance running,
mm-hmm.
and the long distance slow boring skiing. I just could not even. Plus, it reminds me of doing those things, and since I hate both cross country skiing and running for the same reason that it is boring and repetitive and exhausting. Yeah, I don't want to think about doing it, and I don't want to watch other people suffer. 4-3-7-16-20 What's your Olympic sport that you cannot stand? Let's see. After last year, break dancing.
Oh.
But the Australian did make it super entertainingly bad, right? But I actually like the breakdancing because I think it's very cool to see happening. But I get how if you don't, you know, if you didn't grow up like I did on these streets, bringing my cardboard and my do-rag out to do a very bad backspin once upon a day in the 80s. Anyway, somebody says...
That'd have been great video.
I can still do one. Oh, so badly, though. I mean, like, I might get you four rotations on a backspin.
But that's something I can record.
That is definitely not going to happen.
You won't know.
I can maybe do the pose. You know, when you're there on your side, hand up on your head or something, like, hey, look at me. That's as far as we're going to get these days. Just okay. Like skateboarding. Like, I cannot fall on a skateboard, but that's about the extent of my tricks these days. Somebody says curling. Yeah, I can't watch the curling. Can't do it. I mean, it's like the Zen garden grooming version of sport.
Zen garden grooming.
Let me rake my sand competitively. No, thank you. I mean,
saying yesterday, I was like, those are the cleanest pieces of ice I've ever seen in my life.
I don't need slow, squatty, stretchy pants.
Like little stones.
Shuffleboard on the ice. I don't...
Little stones across the road.
Yeah, it doesn't do nothing for me. Somebody says break dancing. What a joke. Somebody else says curling. Almost all the Summer Olympics they find boring. Fast walking. Oh, I forgot that was even a sport. Or maybe it's not. But yeah, the fast walking, the one where the rule is you have to have 1 foot on the ground at all times. You know what the winter version of that is? Ice dancing. I love ice skating. Ice skating is fascinating to me. Pairs, singles, women's, men's, I don't care. It's all interesting. I cannot watch the ice dancing. What I'm watching is people not ice skate. No flips, no tricks, no lifts. Just, oh, okay. That's smooth. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Smooth. All right, brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living, one-bedroom apartments starting at $799 per month. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. One accident right now. We're dealing on Highway 90 and Diamond Street, which is right before you get to Woodbine or right after Woodbine, depending on which direction you are going. So just be aware of that. Seeing no other slowdowns to let you know about, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need to get that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has 300 cars in the lot. You can choose from cars that are 1 to 3 or 4 years young, 10 to about 40,000 miles is kind of their specialty. Cars that are not brand new, but they're not that old. They warranty everything they sell to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they're only selling you good quality cars, A kind of cars. And in fact, they're so emphatic about that, they want you to be happy that, because I know sometimes you go to a used car place, you're like, man, I hope I don't get taken advantage of. The whole point is to make you feel good. And even, you know, if you take a car home and it's got problems, they take care of you. And they will aggressively go out of their way to make sure. Like, they called me after we bought our Honda Odyssey. Calvin, my sales guy, he calls me up 6 months later. Is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, no, and I don't know why you're calling me. I didn't say it. I'm not that rude out loud in front of people. But it's the internal monologue. And then 6 months later, so a year after we bought the car, he says, hey, just checking in. Is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, one of the keys. you know, it doesn't work. The physical key, like the fob, is fine, but the key, and he's like, bring it in, we'll replace it. And again, internal monologue, I thought, I bet you will for $150. And he's like, and you know, I said, well, how much will that cost? That's the diplomat, that's the out loud version. And he says, nothing. You expected to get a car with two keys, you get a car with two keys. We brought it in, took 5-7 minutes and done, easy, done. Who does that? What used car place goes out of its way to ask you if the car is okay a year after you buy it? Well, Frontier does. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, question of the day is 437-1620 for our frivolous discussion. What's the Olympic sport you just can't stand to watch, don't understand? I'm going to say rugby, too. I actually worked in England with a guy who was a huge rugby fan. I think might have played in New Zealand. He was actually an Olympic athlete. He was a boxer. But anyway, and I couldn't get it. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing. I don't understand the rules. I know some people play it, and that's fine, but it doesn't resonate with me. Somebody says, Ella, let's see, breakdancing is not a sport. Speed walking in the summer games and cross-country skiing in the winter. Oh, my bud. Yes, I'm totally with you on that. Let's see. I tried to watch this year for the first time since 1984 when I followed Mary Lou Retton. Oh, Mary Lou Retton. As a kid, just thinking. Anyway, I discovered that I don't like any of the Olympic sports these days. Somebody says, the electric boogaloo, where you go? Break into. Synchronized swimming, my God, is as boring. Maybe if they could incorporate water chicken fights in there, that would be better. Or if it were like water polo / hockey / I don't know, water, you know, dancing, whatever. You know,
give them all a stick.
I have a fondness for the synchronized swimming because I know how hard it is. My mom used to do synchronized swimming, you know, and so it's a way of, but yeah, I get you. It's not the most thrilling. Let's see, 437-1620. Somebody says I must have looked like Uncle Rico on Napoleon Dynamite breakdancing or whoever. Yeah, no, that's accurate. yeah. Curling is great. I can sit on my couch and drink a beer, cheer on women sweeping, and not feel like a pig.
Oh, that's good. Oh, my goodness.
Use that broom, baby. Let's see. Boy. I was at the dentist, and they had curling on TV. It was definitely torture. That's great. I'm with you, Andrew. I love the Olympics. I still remember Carrie Strug's crazy Olympic moment. Yeah. And I'm also not into the ice dancing. Another one who says the same thing. I'm Andrew with you. I love the Olympics, but I never watched the equestrian events. Oh, dressage. Yeah,
I forgot about the horses.
No, I mean, if it's horse racing, but they don't do that at the Olympics.
Because you have money on it.
Opinion, all subjectively judged events should be separated into a performing arts Olympics. So that's an interesting idea. So it's not based on time and distance. It's based on performance and evaluation by the judges. You know, for example, your diving or your gymnastics, things that are evaluated, or your ice skating, obviously. That's an interesting theory. I don't mind that. Let's see. You know, it'd be great if they left politics out of the Olympics. I just don't want to know what the Jamaican bobsled thing thinks of America or Trump. I just want to watch the games. I will tell you, I also do not care what Snoop Dogg has to say. Sorry, I don't
you
care.
You don't?
I really don't
care.
I mean,
it was very inspirational wisdom that was coming from there.
No, fast forward.
I think he rhymed or something.
Somebody says, I hate running so much that I even hate watching it on TV. No, I totally agree. I like all the sports. Mike says that I just don't like the experts and analyze what the athletes are doing. Some are better, some are worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some are better. I love Tara Lipinski. She's great. I mean, who doesn't like Tara Lipinski? You know, Johnny Weir. That's fine. And, you know, I don't mind if they're educating you a little bit on what was done wrong or how hard it was, something like that. But it's a fine balance for them to go between being helpful and kind of being condescending and overcritical. And
you could tell they don't do it all the time.
Yeah. They're not polished like your NFL commentators or, you know, whatever. Because they don't get a lot of chance to do this for, you know, real TV audiences.
Thank goodness.
8:52 here on News Radio 92.3. I had one more. What was the other one? I wanted to make sure and not go without mentioning it. Kayak. It's the worst. Yeah. I have to watch this. Are you serious? No, thank you. I'm not interested. Hey, if you are thinking about whether you need that next roof, and I know you don't think about that, like, it's a perfectly good roof. How old is it? It's only 13 years. Guess what insurance is going to tell you? Or guess what if you try to sell the home, what they're going to tell you? That's where we are, unfortunately, with roofs. Now, it might be a perfectly good roof from your point of view, but, you know, insurance wants their thing, and so you may have to replace it to sell it or whatever, or just, you know, you might even be able to save money. Or if, obviously, you have a problem with the roof, well, Quality Roofing Solutions, they'll take care of you. I really like to represent companies that I feel good about them, where I know they're going to treat you honestly, where they're going to deal with you like a person, they're going to do all the little stuff right. And so that's really kind of a theme of the companies that I like to represent. And Quality Roofing Solutions, a great example, 4.9 rated on Google. That's a crazy high number. Why? Because they do it smart, they save you money, they treat you like a person, they respond to your phone calls, they warranty every roof they install. They just started in the last year warrantying it for lifetime workmanship. That's nobody does that. But that's how good they are, and that's how they stand by their work, and they know they'll do good work. They do all kinds of little things to save you money. They're invested in the community. 20 years, 10,000 roofs. Brian Ward is the founder. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You are illegally parked on private property. You have 20 seconds to move your vehicle.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Be honest, when you first watched RoboCop, how many of you wanted an Ed 209?
Oh, I did. Maybe that guy from Gulf Breeze can use him, too.
Oh, yeah, to trees. Take down the trees. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident on Highway 90 and Diamond Street over in Pace. The roadway is clear. It's off to the side of the road, but it seems just some minor delays on Highway 90. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So a couple of... I don't know, odd little follow-up stories about the Bad Bunny halftime show. Number one is the grass was not grass. It was people dressed as grass costumes. It was like snipers in their ghillie suits was out there. You know, 300 of them. It had to do, I guess, with the limited amount of stuff you can bring on the field, but you can bring on an unlimited number of performers. So the idea was let's have people wearing grass outfits come and be the grass. It would kind of sway back and forth as they were moving, which... I didn't notice it when it was happening, but, you know, just FYI. Number two, Bad Bunny has deleted all of his Instagram posts. So his – and he's unfollowed everything he followed. So all he's got is his followers and a blank page, apparently. I haven't gone to check, but, you know, I read it somewhere. It must be true. Theories. Didn't like the comments he was getting. I kind of understand that. But he did this previously, I guess, in 2022. So – which I don't really understand why, but okay, there you go. And then the third one is people – there's, I guess, Randy Fine, who is a Florida congressman. They're looking into whether he might have violated the FCC rules against profanity by swearing in Spanish during the Super Bowl. And apparently, again, evidence says ye did not. Because even though those songs do contain profanity in kind of their original versions, they aired them in what you might call the radio safe version, which is the non-profanity laced version. And so the answer is no, which is, you know,
so you didn't hear
enough.
A beep, beep right. The whole time.
Well, and even, I mean, you know, songs that are in English have that same feature, right? There's right. a lot of, there's the album version, you know, quite famously, I would say The Who has a song that has a pretty pronounced, you know, recognizable F-bomb in the middle of it. When you right. hear it on the radio, you're like, what? You know, or if you've heard it on the radio your whole life and then you hear the album, you're like, oh, what?
Oh, yeah, trust you
know,
me.
Wow.
Several right. country songs like that.
Oh, you know what we did not talk about, even when it happened? I meant to mention this the other day, but the Green Day opening performance for the Super Bowl.
Oh, I loved it.
It was really fun, and I love Green Day's a good band. They're not the greatest punk band, but they're a good
but
punk
still,
band.
But still, they're really
yes,
good.
Yes, that was the best music of everybody that was performing. So no offense, country music lovers.
It's okay.
But I do have a question. My question is, why is a band whose identity is built around being anti-authority, anti-structure, anti-commercialism, like, it's a punk band. Why are they performing at the single largest commercial event in the history of mankind at the Super Bowl? Don't that seem a little bit sellout-ish? That's a little bit weird. But, you know, whatever, make your bucks. You know, you're fine. But don't sing to me in the future about stupid Americans in the system. You know, it's like Rage Against the Machine performing now at the mall grand opening. I mean, it's weird. Like, it's weird, right? Also, can I say, why is Serena Williams doing an ad for weight loss? The woman is gorgeous. Like, I don't get why. That's almost insulting to everybody.
Local Talk in the morning, 5. 5-